Make a splash or have the ride of your life with Carowinds and Subway restaurants. Save up to $21 on single day admission when you make any sub a fresh value meal with chips and a drink. So head into Subway and get your discount for the new Carolina Harbor Water Park and Plants vs. Zombies 3Z Arena at Carowinds.
Offer valid March 25th through June 19th, 2016. See store for details. Limited time only at participating locations. May not be combined with any other offers. Sandwiches prepared in front of you. Subway is a registered trademark of Subway IP Inc. Copyright 2016 Subway IP Inc.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventures. I'm your host, Terrence Zepke. This is going to be a great show. My guest today is Joanne Pegas, who is the publisher of At 50 Go Girl magazine. She's also a world traveler, so we want to thank Joan for joining us today.
Hello, Terrence. How are you?
Hey, good. Now, I want to really quickly and emphatically point out to everybody, I am not in my 50s yet, but I think that you don't have to be in your 50s to find your magazine helpful. So it's got great stuff in it. But I've asked Joan to come on the show today to share some tips with us and some caveats about solo travel, because I believe you've done quite a bit of traveling on your own, haven't you, Joanne?
Yeah, I quite enjoy it.
Okay. Well, what's the biggest challenge you think about tackling adventure trips on your own?
Biggest challenge. I guess it all depends on where what your restrictions are. Like for myself, I really enjoy the planning part. And in terms of planning, you can do whatever you enjoy. You can set things up. And then, of course, if things go awry or you find something more interesting that you'd like to pursue, then you just change your plans. You don't have to consult with anyone else and go with what you want to do.
So you've got the freedom when you're on your own that you wouldn't have when you have other people to consider traveling with you.
Certainly, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to worry quite so much about whether somebody snores or they don't like the same food as you or they're not as outgoing, all those different sort of things you have to consider when you're going to be traveling with someone else.
Yeah, so when you go, you don't you don't share a room with somebody just to save a little bit of money. You actually just pay like a single supplement or?
Well, I actually never thought about sharing with someone else, but that's an idea I could pursue. I do a lot of Airbnb, different places like that that aren't as expensive. And sometimes, you know, there's a last-minute deal, which I was able to get a nice hotel room in Santiago, Chile, just a last-minute thing.
Okay, so give us one of your tips then. What's the best way you found to save money? What's a resource that you use that's a great one for our audience to know about?
Well, I like Airbnb. Anything that I've picked has been, you know, really reasonably priced, close to where I wanted to be in terms of getting around. I mentioned to you earlier that I'd been to New York on my own, that I spent a couple of weeks there. And so I always pick something that's close to transit, is what I would call it, your public
centrally
transit.
Located,
and,
yeah.
Centrally located, exactly, yeah. So you could walk to a lot of places, but also be able to get on the train or whatever it is they have.
So now you don't go on tours, you're saying. You actually just go on your own. You're not on a tour group.
I haven't done many tour groups on my own. No, when I I've traveled quite a bit with my mom when she was alive, and we did a lot of tours then. But
okay.
No, I like to just find what I like to do and take off and just go.
Yeah, because on the tours that, you know, some people, if they aren't good with planning, there's a lot of tour companies that specialize in adventure travel for women travelers. And I know that some of them will not charge, they'll charge a single supplement if you want a room on your own, which can be, you know, a few hundred dollars to, you know, to more than that. But if you're willing to share with somebody, then there's no single supplement. So that's something that people can find out about if that's something they're interested in, or if there are people like you that feel comfortable traveling on their own and making their own arrangements, then they can just, you know, do it that way. But
yeah,
so
and,
what do you
and
think?
I'm actually sorry, I'm going
Go
to
ahead.
Contradict myself right away, because mm-hmm. one of the things that I did when I went to Chile was actually go on tours, but they were into the desert, so you basically can't do that by yourself. I traveled up there by myself. No. I traveled up there by myself and then stayed on my own in, they call them hostels in that, in San Pedro de Atacama. And then booked in with the travel the tour operators from there.
You know, it's funny because I was thinking before our show, and we were going to be talking about solo travel, and I was thinking about some of the things I've done on adventure trips that I'm not even sure, you know, I would want to repeat on the air here because they sound so stupid when you look back. You know, because when you get caught up in a moment when you're traveling, you will do things that, in hindsight, you're thinking, well, that was kind of, you know, a dumb move. You know, like going somewhere on your own, or, you know, like you said, driving out in the desert on your own, or, you know, just all kinds of things. Like I said, I'm not going to mention anything specifically that's going to come back to haunt me later. But, I mean, have you done that? Have you found that you put yourself in a position like that on trips when you look back and think about some things maybe you shouldn't have done for safety-wise or health-wise? Or
I'm pretty cautious,
okay.
But I am a bit bolder than maybe some women because I live in Vancouver, Canada, and it's a large city. So I'm comfortable in the evenings and that wandering around. And then when I go to a different country, I'm always very sure that I check with whomever, you know, like if it's an Airbnb host, or maybe even do, I know Canadian government does a warning thing on their website. So just checking those kinds of things before you go so that you know if it's going to be a dangerous city to travel in by yourself at night, then, you know, you're going to use a cab. Or, you know, like for me, in Santiago, Chile, it was just perfect. There was no worries. I could travel around in the evenings walking and no problems.
Because, you know, when you take adventure trips, of course, you're going to places that are off the beaten path, often to developing countries or places where there could be high crime or there could be, like we were talking before the show about the, I think you were talking about the mosquitoes and the
mm-hmm.
outbreak.
Yeah.
And so you have to be careful when you go. I'm thinking for safety as a woman, and also for everybody, for health issues when you're going somewhere, I always look up the latest government warnings for everything, you know, not just health, but also what's going on in the world. I've got a friend that's heading to Turkey right now, and right now they're having, they put the Istanbul on curfew. They're having riots and protesting and all kinds of problems in there right now. And so she was getting ready to leave, and she didn't even know it. And I said, well, you know, this is why you need to look up, you know, right before you leave. You need to do a little checking and make sure, you know, what's going on. And also always check what the recommended vaccinations are as well as required vaccinations and all. So that's a good.
That's exactly what I meant about research, right? You're not just researching the places you want to see or the shows that you might want to go to. You've got to make sure that this city or this country that you're going to is going to be safe for you. And I would, you know, even before you booked your flights, I would suggest that you do that.
Yeah, and it could be that something you want to do, you've got sort of a rough itinerary, and you're going to do this on Monday, but this place is closed on Monday. And so
mm-hmm.
that's something you would need to find out as you're planning your itinerary. and sometimes the trains, you know, I do a lot of travel to Africa, and some of the rail system there, they have times that they run in the directions and all that, so you've got to be really careful, because if you're counting on the train to get from point A to point B and it's not running at that at that season. So you've got a bit of a problem there. So there's a lot of planning and research that does go into going on your own, which is the reason why some people do like to just get on a tour and let someone else do the planning, which, you know, I see both parts of it there because I'm a good planner and I'm very adventurous and brave. So I like to go on my own, but there's sometimes it's nice to be with a group of people to experience certain places. So, well, let me ask you here, what is your favorite place or your favorite experience that, in all your travels?
Well, I so enjoyed my time in Chile. It was the first time I'd been south of the equator, and I thought that it might be a bit bizarre, but it was just amazing. Everyone was so friendly and helpful, and I'd done a bit of practice on my Spanish, so I was good to at least be able to pronounce some words properly. But traveling up to the Atacama Desert was a fabulous trip that I kind of thought it might be a bit too much for myself. I'm going to be 60 this year, but it wasn't. It wasn't at all. It was, you know, they drove us up, they showed us the safe areas to walk, because there are at one point a field of geysers. And I just enjoyed the real adventure. I think that was one of the biggest adventures into the unknown that I'd had for a long time.
Well, so what's on your bucket list, someplace that you haven't been that you really want to go?
Well, I just wanted to say one thing about a bucket list. To me, that sounds end of life. I've decided to call mine Bubbles List, because basically there's bubbles everywhere. You could see volcanoes, you could taste some champagne, you could stand in the ocean while the waves are creating bubbles. Anyway, that's just my thought.
Well, I agree. Bucket list may sound like that, but I think it's a term that everyone knows, at least when you're asking.
Definitely.
So what's on your list?
Yeah. So on my list is right now the Maritime Provinces of Canada, which, being a Canadian, having lived here all my life, I've never been there. And with our dollar the way it is, that's what I'm going to try to do this year, is staycation 2016.
Oh,
so I've done
wow.
a little bit of research there, and I go and, like, fly, because it's probably about a six-hour flight. But then once I get there, there's trains to take you around the different provinces. And then I'll probably, if I can make it to Newfoundland, which is an island, I will likely rent a car and cruise around. But they're not big provinces. They're maybe like 200 or 300 kilometers in length or width, and easy to drive around, and probably you can stay in one spot and see a bunch of different things. So that's on my list for this year. And the other one that I'm really interested to go to is Japan. I think everything about the Japanese culture just seems to me so calm and beautiful that I'd really like to go there. So hopefully.
I got Bhutan on my bucket list.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to go to Bhutan, I think. I've been to Nepal, and I've been to India, and I've been to several places in Asia. But Bhutan is, you know, known as the Kingdom of the Dragon. And it just, when you see all the images, it just seems so exotic and adventurous and, you know, just something I think I have to do before I kick the bucket.
What kind of adventure travel is there to do there? Do you go into the mountains? I don't know much about that country.
Yeah, there's hiking to do, and there's like safari kind of activities to do, and then there's a lot of cultural and historic activities. So, yeah,
that's
a great. Yeah, let me ask you here. I did a show a while back where I interviewed a couple, and I didn't ask them their age, but my guess would be they were in their 60s, maybe late 60s, and they have sold their house, sold their business, sold all of their possessions except for a few favorite things that they put into a storage unit. And they have been traveling full time for the last 4 years. And so I was just wondering, I was trying to think about it because I do so much traveling, but I was trying to think, would I want to travel full time? And so I was thinking, I'm trying to take a poll of people. So what do you think? Would you, if you could, if you had the resources and all, would you be interested in traveling full time?
I think I would be. I don't know that it's the right time right now for me. I'm enjoying doing what I'm doing. But the only thing would be that I'd have to learn how to pack really small, because taking suitcases, you know, that are too heavy for you is just not fun. So that'll be my next thing on my list, is to get myself into a carry-on only travel. So,
well, let's talk about packing then. What is your advice
for
packing?
Expert.
Because this, yeah. Well, I have one rule: pack light, pack right. And that's what I do. I start with everything I think I'm going to need, and I'll spread it out, and then I just start taking away. And I try to get it down as little as I can. And the great thing about adventure travel is you really don't have to worry too much about dressing. So maybe like one nice outfit will serve you. So it's in some ways easier to pack for adventure travel, and in some ways harder, because you have to plan for every contingency. So the weather-wise, and, you know, you have to have the right shoes. Hiking boots can take up quite a bit of space, and so can 3-in-1 coats and so forth. So, but I do try to take the absolute minimal, and so I haven't gotten down to a carry bag only, because the trips I take are up to 3 weeks generally, and so it's pretty hard to pack everything you're going to need into the carry bag. But when I go on a trip that lasts less than a week, I always do carry bag only. But yeah, that's a good thing. So tell me, what are three things that you never leave home without?
A toothbrush. Now it's the cell phone. And good walking shoes.
Okay.
I'm thinking, you know, like if we really, really wanted to go super light, we could almost do just that. Wherever you arrive, go and buy a new set of clothes and some shampoo. I mean, I'm not a makeup lady. I don't need a hair dryer. So things are pretty simple in those terms. But, yeah, that'd be kind of fun just to grab a small purse and away we go.
I think for me it would probably be a medicine kit, hand sanitizer, and peanut butter.
I can't
go anywhere without my peanut butter.
Good for you.
Yeah,
I know. When I did go to Chile, and that was back in the day where there was just nothing good to eat. That's what I took with me, was peanut butter and crackers. I think it saved me.
Well, I do, you know, like I said, I do a lot of adventure travel, and I'm a pretty adventurous eater, but there are times when you just kind of know. You know, when they serve you worm larva and pigeon pie, you know, things like that. Sometimes, you know, we got a fish stew up in the Andes. We were hiking up in the Andes Mountains, and they served a fish stew. And I just had a really bad feeling about that fish stew. So I stayed away from that, and just, you know, they always have bread with everything that you eat. So I made a peanut butter sandwich. And one of the people that was with me, my friend Jim, ate the fish stew and said it was the best thing he'd had the whole trip. Woke up in the middle of the night and was so sick.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's so you do have to be careful.
What are you doing taking fish up into the Andes Mountains?
I don't know, but I mean, I looked at it and I thought, you know, this just looks like one of those things that's going to come back to haunt you. And we said to Jim, are you sure you want that? And he's like, oh, leave me alone. It's the best thing I've had this trip so far, because, you know, sometimes the food can be a little iffy on these adventure trips, at least the kind I take. But that was, you know, and that was a good call for me.
I would taste it.
So you gotta be careful sometimes with what you eat and all that. So, okay, well, do you have any advice that you think that you can share with the people that are listening? What about if they really want to go and they can't find anybody that will go with them? That's not, because I have a lot of friends and family that just think I'm crazy. The trips I take, they have no interest in going. Yeah, they're like, you know, that's not how I'm going to spend my vacation or my money, you know. And so, you know, and so I'll just go on my own because that's, you know, that doesn't bother me at all. But there's a lot of people out there that are quite hesitant to even go out to eat dinner alone, let alone get on a plane and go somewhere. So do you have any advice you would share to somebody who's, like, on the fence that wants to travel?
Well,
but
I think, again, the research, right? Like, your website and my website magazine, they all have stuff about solo women. And there's so much information out there for everybody. And also lots of places where you can find travel companions. So if you don't want to go on your own, if you want to push yourself but have some company, then you might find, you know, your best friend for travel on the internet.
Yeah, good guy. Okay, so we're almost out of time. So before we close, is there anything else about adventure travel or traveling on your own experiences? Do you have a funny story from one of your trips that you want to share? Anything like that with our listeners?
Well, funny story. Just slipped my mind. You mentioned something that I actually did, but I can't remember what it was. I was walking around up where I went to the Atacama in San Pedro de Atacama, in the middle of the desert. And these young people were speaking English, and I walked up and asked for some directions, and they said, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then I said, where are you guys from? Oh, we're from Vancouver. And it's just remarkable that those things happen over and over again, right? You don't see anybody you know in town, but as soon as you leave town, you find somebody from your own hometown.
Yeah, so you're really never far from home if you look at it from that point
always someone is around to help you.
Yeah, I found that people are more helpful in other parts of the world than they are. Here in the U.S., we do not have all that great a customer service. And in the tourism industry, sometimes people act like, you know, that you're being a nuisance if you go up and ask them a question or try to get some help or something. And so I'm mortified as an American to think how they're treating people that are coming into our country. I hope better than they treat our own people, but I found it so different when you go around the world that people, just like you said, just go out of their way to be of help to you. And a lot of ways I just feel like they're more helpful and I'm safer some places than I am right here at home. So that's kind of an interesting
experience.
Well,
I won't comment on that aspect of it, but anytime I've been to the States, everybody is very helpful. But
well, that's good.
Here in Canada, you don't find anybody that's unhelpful. So come on up.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're saving it up for the tourists coming in. Maybe
tourists,
that's it.
Yeah.
But I do like the part about, I think the best part of traveling on your own is I do like the freedom with it because you can, you know, you get to make all the decisions yourself, so you don't have to go with majority. If there's something you really wanted to do and everyone else didn't want to do it, then you end up not doing it because of that. But I like the best part for me is that it forces an interaction with other travelers and locals and people and all that, which is such a good thing, obviously. So,
excellent, yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
sure.
So thank you. Yeah, Joanne, for being such a great guest and sharing all your experiences and information and resources. And I just want to give you a chance, if you could just please tell listeners how to subscribe to your wonderful magazine at 50 Go Girl and also maybe how to connect with you.
Certainly. My website is AT50GOGIRL, so at 50 Go Girl. And that's the name of the magazine, and it's available on iTunes. So you just go into your iTunes account and type that in, and it'll pop up, and you can get a copy of that. We're just launched, the January issue just came out. And I also have a blog by the same name, and there's lots of travel stories on there as well. So come on, Uber.
Okay. Well, just to let everyone know, in case you didn't have a pen handy, I'm also going to have Joanne's contact information for the magazine posted on www.terrencetalkstravel, where you'll also find all the archive episodes of Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventures. They can also be found on Blog Talk Radio and on iTunes. But if you sign up for my weekly newsletter, you'll always know when there's a new show. You'll find hundreds of free travel reports and posts and receive a free 50-page cheap travel tips report. So that's a good incentive for you. So anyway, I think that's all for now. But I'll be back soon with another episode of Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventures, so stay tuned.
Boar's Head is bringing a slice of Japan to the deli. Introducing Boar's Head Ichiban Teriyaki Style Chicken. Tender, slow-roasted chicken breast, coated in our signature teriyaki glaze, where ginger, garlic, and a hint of brown sugar meet for a flavor that's both sweet and savory. New Boar's Head Ichiban Teriyaki Style Chicken. The bold flavor of Japan. Now at the deli. Only from Boar's Head. Compromise elsewhere.